You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. The Cranes are out there, by the way, getting those scoreboards going. Open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. John Clayton from ESPN joins us now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, obviously a lot of turmoil in Cleveland, a lot of change, I should say. What's your reaction to what took place yesterday with the firing of Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi?
You know, we've been hearing rumblings of that for about, I'd say 3 weeks, and you just never knew if it was going to come true or not. And now that it has come true, you can understand that Jim Haslam was very upset that nobody was willing to take the job for the most part. And so because of that, you know, and two more casualties fall in. And, you know, the big thing is that you just feel bad for the Brown fans, because what it does, it puts everything in transition for another year for a city that's been waiting and waiting for this franchise to finally turn the corner and get good. And, you know, I still contend back a couple years ago there was no need to make the change as far as, you know, with the way Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert and everybody else was building that team, because I think you can see the talent is coming to the team, but it's everything's being held back right now by the constant change in coaches and front office people.
John, Joe Banner came in with 19 years of experience with the Eagles, a lot of success there with Andy Reid. Where did it go wrong for him here?
Well, I think what it came down to is that, you know, number one, it probably didn't help that he brought Mike Lombardi in, you know, because Mike is a good personnel guy, no question about it. He knows what he's doing. He studied tapes as hard as anybody else. But I think that kind of scared away some people as far as wanting to take the job and all that. And I think that sometimes, you know, you can almost be too decisive in trying to make your decisions. I mean, you know, you go back last year and how they were back and forth on wanting to do Chip Kelly and not do Chip Kelly. And clearly the way it was going, I mean, Joe was running the team. And, you know, he had a plan. He was trying to do it. But then after the failures of this past year, I think it was hard for him to sell around the league to people that were looking for these coaching jobs, whether to put their name in, put their name out, or keep their name in, keep their name out. And so because of that, he now becomes the latest victim.
John, why? We know that coaches didn't want to work with Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi. Why did Joe Banner have this national reputation around the league of something, someone that people didn't want to work for?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit there in the Philadelphia days, but let's put it this way. You still can't argue about the 14 years of success. And, you know, I think any coach will tell you if you stay past 10 years, then everything starts to become a strain, whether it's a strain with Joe Banner and Andy Reid or Andy Reid and the players. I mean, it's hard to keep things together that long. I mean, the model, and most coaches will tell you, it's like stay 10 years and then try something different. And that's what some coaches like Mike Holmgren and Tom Flores, guys like that, I mean, they kind of accept those realities. But then, you know, you start to look at the fact that Joe came in with all the power and he wanted his own organization. And so he did. Unfortunately, when the organization has the bad first year and the next thing you know, you have to change everything around again, now people get scared. Because, you know, if you're going, listen, if you're going to be a person looking for a head coaching job in Cleveland, right, you would, if you can't come back and produce an 8 or 9 win season that very first year, say in 2014, you know what's going to happen is the guy that hired you is probably not going to be there, Joe Banner, and then probably Mike Lombardi. So that scared people away, too. You know, Joe's a bright guy. Joe also wants to get involved in personnel. That's okay. He did back in Philadelphia. Maybe he was a little bit too strong in it here, but he had the opportunity to do it. But it just scared everybody away because, you know, when you take a head coaching job, you want to be able to complete the 4 or 5 years you signed to be able to have that head coaching job. You don't get that many chances.
John, after saying goodbye to a head coach 11 months after hiring him, Rob Chudzinski, and then making these moves now with Banner Lombardi, does Jimmy Haslam look like a strong, decisive owner who sort of took back control of his club, or does he look like an impetuous owner?
Well, I mean, I think what he looks like, an owner that needs to find people to give him the right guidance. I mean, you know, it was pretty evident that even though he had great resources in Pittsburgh to talk to the Rooneys as far as, you know, what type of way he should run the organization, he kind of went to more league people, and league people decided, hey, I mean, why don't you take Joe Banner on? And they did, and, you know, he did, you know, a lot of good financial things. He got the sale done pretty quick and all those different things, and, you know, that was at least where it goes. But I think what you're looking at right now is something very similar to what's going on down in Miami with Stephen Ross. I mean, you know, Stephen Ross does have Carl Peterson to fall back on. Who does Jim Haslam have right now to fall back on that, you know, can give him the right guidance to try to get the franchise in the right direction? And I think that's where, yeah, that's to me is what it looks like. I mean, you know, he turned to the league. That didn't work out. He turned to Joe Banner. That didn't work out. And now who's he turning to? I mean, you know, it's like, I think it's pretty evident there's, you know, probably a quarterback in Denver that ultimately he'd love to be able to link up with. He wanted to before. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, he trusts Peyton Manning. But right. Who does he know outside of Peyton Manning that can give him the guidance to be the owner that he says he's kind of on the learning curve with?
What do you make of the story that he talked to Bill Parcells, and Bill Parcells gave him some advice about how to get this thing going in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I can't see that, you know, if he was going to Bill to have him run the team, I mean, clearly he's looking in the short term because, you know, Bill's not going to take a, you know, a 3-4-5 year operation and all that. But, I mean, you know, Bill's a good guy to at least ask around. And I think that what that shows is, I mean, you know, Jim's trying to do his due diligence and trying to ask people. But right now he doesn't have the people that, you know, he doesn't have the 1, 2, or 3 people that he can look at and say, okay, what should I do? Take that advice and then run with it. Right now he's kind of reaching out and, you know, he's kind of going in a lot of different direction. And until we can find the right direction, I mean, there's going to be this continued transition.
John, talk a little bit about the reputation of Ray Farmer around the league and the thought that having Ray Farmer as the GM is actually going to be a good thing for the Browns' ability to re-sign some of their free agents and be more attractive as a destination for other free agents from other teams as this process goes forward.
Well, Ray's a good football guy. I think that's the one thing. And, you know, if anybody over the last 2 years has gained a lot of stature in the league, it's Ray Farmer. You know, Ray was in a situation in Kansas City that was in transition. Then he came to Cleveland, and then, you know, he went down to the Miami. And I think a lot of people were proud of him the way that he basically did not take that job with the way that it was structured. I mean, because I knew Ray as far as, you know, his thinking on a lot of different things, and it's like he wasn't going to take a general manager job just to take a general manager job. And had he gone down there, there was a good chance that, you know, he'd have a head coaching change the next year if Joe Philbin doesn't succeed, and so he just pulls his name out. Now, maybe he had some guidance from Jim Haslam that maybe, you know, stick around here, we really kind of need you, but he's a good football guy. I thought that the best thing he's done in the last 24 hours is bring Bill Kuharik in. You know, it's mind-boggling to me that somebody as talented as Bill Kuharik has been out for the number of years that he's had. Now he's been involved in committees and things of that nature. So I think what it shows is that you know, he does have at least some idea what he's doing, but it's like the problem is, you know, does he have the ability long-term to do the right things? I think short-term he'll do it. I think that, you know, now they're working on, you know, trying to do a Joe Hayden contract and trying to do, you know, some contracts to keep guys there. Fortunately, the list isn't all that long for guys that are free agents, but I think he's a good enough football guy to try to patch up. But believe me, he's got a tough job to do because, you know, he has a coach right now that very well is probably looking at a one-year situation. And if you're going to be a player looking in free agency to this team, you know, you want to kind of know, it's like, what direction is this really going? And that's still going to be a hard sell. But I think Ray can do the best job possible under a very bad situation.
John Clayton from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, with Ray Farmer now in that GM role, how do you think it influences the draft philosophy? Because it was pretty well understood that Michael Lombardi was fixated on Johnny Manziel and perhaps using, if he were there, that fourth overall pick on him. Do you think with Farmer and maybe the different perspective he might have, he's been suggesting the, you know, best athlete available type of approach to things. Could that change how the Browns approach the draft now that he's in charge?
Oh, no question. Yeah, because I think what it does, it opens up the eyes to a lot of opportunities, not just in the draft, but also in trades. I mean, the fact that they brought Kyle Shanahan in, you know, puts on the table Kirk Cousins because, you know, whether it's a second-round pick, I can't imagine it being much more than that. You know, is that the move to make? I mean, you look at, you know, what Ray watched in Kansas City, you know, right before he left. I mean, it was like, okay, they traded for Alex Smith. Alex Smith comes over, does a great job, gets them to the playoffs, and Andy Reid in the first year. You know, I think that Ray now can at least, you know, take the weighing scale is. Is it better to give up a second round or a third round pick for Kirk Cousins? Is it better to go for a Teddy Bridgewater? Is it better to go for a Johnny Manziel? You know, all those things I think now become in play. And I think that, you know, he's solid enough as a personnel guy, particularly with Bill Kuharik, that they can sit back and now try to judge what is best for the team. I think that, you know, not that they'll totally rely on the opinion of Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff, but now they have input. And, you know, Kyle can come in and say, okay, if you get Kirk Cousins, here's what you get, and here's where the fit's going to be. And then I think Ray can weigh that with what he's seen from going around and looking in the draft to see what the quarterbacks look like. Then ultimately, you know, they got to get a quarterback because, you know, there was no confidence, unfortunately, for Brandon Wheaton with the current administration that now left.
And he wants out of Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, can you blame him? I mean, it's like, you know, he wants out because, right. I mean, every configuration that he looked last year after about 3 weeks of the season didn't really get him back in the mix. I mean, you know, it's like, right. What even looking at is like, okay, you know, Brian Hoyer was probably going to get the job had the previous administration had, and then, of course, then get Johnny Manziel. So, yeah, I can imagine he wants to get out. I mean, he's an older quarterback. Time is ticking on him.
John, we have a lot of time until games will actually be played, and a lot has happened since the last game was played here for the Cleveland Browns. In your opinion, are the Browns in a better, worse, or equal situation now with the organization as it stands today with Jimmy Haslam, Alex Shiner, of course Mike Pettine, and Ray Farmer, or as it would have been constructed at the end of the season when you had Banner, Lombardi, Rob Chudzinski, etc., or do you think that the time will tell?
I think it's going to be time will tell because I think that, you know, what you can look at is that there's a good likelihood that, you know, it comes down to, you know, if Mike Pettine can take this team to 7 or 8 wins and, you know, if they would have a good draft and have a good off season, yeah, maybe they can do that. Then there won't be a coaching change. But I think what you look at is that it looks like another one and done situation. And that's not a good situation to be in. I mean, unfortunately, you know, that's the way it played out, that you know, so many people pulled their name out of the job, you know, and you don't know, you know, where is going to be the future as far as who's going to run it. I mean, is Ray going to be given the full chance? Everything is up in the air right now, so I wouldn't say that it's better. I wouldn't say that it's worse. It has to play itself out. I do think that Ray can do a good job under a bad circumstance, but let's put it this way. It's a bad circumstance. I don't think you can cover for that fact.
John, you mentioned Mike Pettine, and a couple interesting thoughts here because, number one, I think Jimmy Haslam made it clear in his press conference, he's made it clear to me separate from that, that he was really impressed with Mike Pettine of the 9 candidates the Browns did get to interview for this last coaching job. Really impressed with him, and he emphasized that he was the right choice, and I think he truly believes that. That said, I also think Mike Pettine coming into this job probably had some reservations, like the other coaches did, about the reporting structure, that reporting to Joe Banner was not comfortable with him, that he wanted to have that direct report to the owner. That now, this is a drift I'm getting, and the fact that they got the deal done with Pettine and then not long thereafter, Joe Banner's gone, I just don't think there's a coincidence there.
No, I don't think so. Well, I think, yeah, but also, too, I think you add to, you know, some of the mysteries behind the scenes. I mean, at first, you know, were some of the reasons guys pulled out of this job because some guys had an agent who was representing Mike Holmgren and Pat Shermer, Tom Heckert, and all that stuff. But that now was thrown out of the books when Kyle Shanahan took the job because Kyle Shanahan was represented by Bob Lamont. So it wasn't as if, you know, Bob Lamont, the agent, had some vendetta against the Cleveland Browns and everybody there. You know, it's like, well, wait a second here. If Kyle can take the job and take a 3-year deal, then why is it something that I'm missing here? And I think that's what Jim Haslam looked at, and he says, okay, what's the problem? And the problem seemed to be nobody wanted to take the job with Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, or very few would. And so that's why I'm sure that the Shanahan thing may have not been the total reason for the change, but I think it was like the final straw. It's like, okay, once Kyle took the job, then it's like, okay, well, it's not a personal thing between the agent and the team. It's something else. And so he looked at the something else and make the change. So that I look at as you know, one of the things behind the scenes that's going to be there.
John, last question for me. What is your perception of Mike Pettine and his capabilities as the head coach of this Cleveland Browns team?
thought he did a sensational job as a defensive coordinator. I mean, you look at the fact that here is a team that did not blitz the previous season, and they had so many different blitzing schemes, and it worked out sensationally. I mean, guys were getting pressure from all over the field. But translating that into a head coaching position like this is very difficult. I mean, I've done some research from like 2006, and usually what ends up happening is that, the fair thing is assistant coaches being promoted to head coaches don't get a fair chance. They don't get the 4 years to be able to do it. When I look at Mike, I think he's a bright coach. I think he'll come in with some motivation. But the problem is, if he can't produce 7 or 8 wins, you know what's going to end up happening. He'll be one and done, and there'll be a new search for Adam Gase and all the head coaches. So I think he's put himself in a bad situation. But, hey, there's only 32 of these head coaching jobs around. He accepted this one. He'll do the best he can, but I think he's up against it to try to succeed.
John, thank you so much for the knowledge, the breakdown, as always, and we look forward to catching up with you next week at the Combine.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. He is John Clayton, the one and only from ESPN, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura. We've got much more ahead for you. 2 p.m., you're going to hear from Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. In the meantime, we do want to hear from you and your thoughts.
What do you
think? Yeah, what do you think? Where do the Browns stand now that all these major changes, this big shakeup has been made? 216-578-0850. Want your barks from the pound, your growls from the pound, and your tweets at Browns _ Daily. What keeps the planet spinning? The beginning.